you're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this message, Aaron Ricabo uses Genesis 13 to show us how God provides solutions for issues we encounter in life, and how his identity as a promise giver is what results in the best promise we can ever hope to receive.
Well, good morning, everyone. And now we are wrapping up our final series of The God Who Provides, the final part of Summer at the Movies. Now, if you did miss the previous weeks, what we've explored so far is we've explored Abraham's faith, we've explored the widow and the oil, the rich man and Lazarus, and last week we looked into Jeremiah's call. Now, today we'll be wrapping it up, going back from the beginning with Abraham, or in this part of the time, Abram. So today we'll be looking at the God who provides Abram's reward, the choices we make. Now, this story will be found in Genesis chapter 13. So if I could ask you to open your Bibles to Genesis 13. And if you don't have your Bibles, there's a code up on the screen which will lead you to the internet and will bring you to that chapter. Now, as always, we read from the ESV. So it's only 18 verses, so please bear with me with this reading today. Genesis chapter 13. So Abram went up from the Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered, everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Now, let's watch the movie which depicts this scene.
We regret that we cannot broadcast the video shown during this worship service. You may watch the video via the link in the podcast notes.
I always love watching biblical stories in the big screen. I mean, nothing can replace the Bible, definitely not, but seeing the stories visually, it gives another type of level of appreciation to the stories. Now, as you probably noticed, there were some parts in what we just watched that wasn't covered in what we read. Some of what was covered in the film was actually found in chapter 14. But today we'll just be purely focusing on chapter 13. Now, let's break up today's passage. Let's break up chapter 13. First, we'll look into, quickly, verses 1 to 4, a bit more of the context of it and what's happening. Now, what wasn't covered in the film was the events of chapter 12. 12, which is a bit important to understand. Now, Abram was led to the land of Canaan, which was the promised land, but he was forced to go to Egypt due to a famine. Now, we won't go into much detail, but there are events in Egypt that caused Abram to lie to the Pharaoh. Now, I just want to note here that though Abram did something not morally right, God still allowed Abram to leave the country wealthy, even while frowning upon his deception. Now, remember, he was wealthy in livestock and in resources. But this leads us to the next passages, which is verses 5 to 7. And that is the issue. So in verses 5 to 7, we see there's a bit of a strife in the family. So while there was no animosity between Lot and Abram, there were difficulties between the two men's herdsmen due to the scarcity of resources in the land. So in other terms, the issue was caused by their wealth. Now, what I want to make note of is that the Lord's blessing, his provision for Abram and Lot, it was twisted to contribute to this problem. By no means is it an indication that God was the source of the issue. Rather, it serves as a reminder that if we are not too careful, we might also allow the blessings, the provisions of the Lord to become a source of division. Remember, all good gifts are from the Lord, but if they become a cause for stumbling, the fault is wholly our own. And in James 1, 13 to 17, it reads, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Abram's and Lot's blessing of wealth was not inherently bad, but it became a source of contention due to people, not because of the Lord. Now, before we move on to our next part, I just want us to reflect on this point. Just think about a time when God has blessed you with something. Perhaps God has blessed you with an amazing job. He's blessed you with your dream job. But has this job consumed all your time? Because of this job, have you started to become neglecting towards your family? Or perhaps you have neglected time with the Lord because your blessing has been mishandled. Or perhaps God has blessed you financially, but with this wealth, have you used it solely or primarily for selfish reasons? Whatever the blessing, whatever the provision God has given you, we should ensure that we use God's blessings for his purpose. We must remember that the blessing, the provision, whether it be relationships, wealth, great job, health, and even personal talents, they are all from God, and we are only stewards of these gifts. God's blessings are not ours to keep, but ours to use for his glory. So we should thank God for the gifts that he has given us and strive to be equitable and charitable with the resources he has given us. And I just encourage you to pray so you can discern how you can use what God has given you for his purpose. Now let's move on to verses 8 and 13. Now this is the solution. With the problem between Lot's and Abram's herdsmen, Abram offers a solution to the problem. And that was simply, Lot gets first dibs. He can choose any area of the land. Now there's a bit more to this because we have to remember and consider the generosity of Abram's offer. Remember, God promised the whole land to Abram, and we saw this in chapter 12. But Abram didn't choose to exploit this God-given right of his. Rather, Abram allowed Lot to make his choice. And because of this, Abram understood the risk that it would present to him, and that would be to lose a more desirable area. But Abram trusted in the Lord. He trusted that God would provide, even if it meant giving up what was perceived as the best portion. And as we read and as we watched, Lot chose the best part, the Jordan Valley. It was the most prosperous land, as it was well watered. And Scripture even likened it to the Garden of Eden and to the land of Egypt. Now let's take a quick note of Lot's character. Lot was able to, you know, he could have not selfishly taken the whole lot for himself, but he selfishly took the whole area. I mean, of course, it was the obvious choice to take, but as we read on, we actually see that appearances can be deceiving. Though it was physically fertile, it was a very spiritually barren place. And as we continue to read through the Bible, we just see how wicked the people of Sodom truly were. Lot did not consider the spiritual consequences of his decision. So let's just quickly stop and reflect on both the decisions of Abram and Lot. Again, just reminding, Abram had full right to choose whatever land God promised him. But what Abram did was he chose to put another person, he chose to put his nephew's interests above his own. And as Christians, this is something that we should take to heart as well. As Christians, we should always strive to make peace with one another, as Abram did with Lot. As it is written in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, let's consider Lot, his decision. Lot made his decision purely based on what he could physically see. And as we see, or as we read later, he would bear the fruits of consequence, as God would eventually destroy that city. Now consider yourself today. Are you at a crossroad point in life? Right now, are you maybe looking at moving to a new job? And perhaps you are given a choice with one of much higher pay, but will it lead to spiritual depravity? Or perhaps you are right now caught in a difficult situation where the only perceived option to get out is to do something illegal or perhaps morally wrong. But there is always a right choice. There is always a God-directed choice. And the right decision may not always be the easiest decision or the least painful, but it is the right one to make. And we are reminded in James 4:17, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So I just want to encourage you, before you make any decisions, especially life-altering decisions, always consult God first and seek the counsel of others. Pray, fast, read your Bibles, and we do this so we will know what God's will is for us. And perhaps many of you have experienced both sides of this, both sides of not consulting and of consulting God before we decide on an action. And I'm sure most, if not all of you, would probably agree that when we first consulted God, he had always led us to the right decision, the most spiritually fulfilled decision. Now, let's wrap up with the last portion of the text, which is verses 14 to 18, and that is the promise. Now, we see that in this passage, after allowing Lot to choose the best portion of the land, God actually reaffirmed his promise with Abram, his covenant promise with him. And as a reminder, that promise was that the land would be given to him, which was the land of Canaan. And part of that promise was that Abram would become a father of a great nations. Now, I just want to remind us of this promise. God promised provision to Abram, promised him a land when he had no home. He promised him descendants, a nation, when he had no son. Now, it would be wise for us to remember that God did not bless Abram with this promise because of Abram's generous action towards Lot. Rather, God blessed Abram with the promise, not because of an action, but purely because God had divinely chosen Abram for a great purpose. Now, I'm not saying that God will never reward us for actions, but there are many blessings that are given purely because God had chosen to be gracious toward us. And we can see this with the ultimate example of God choosing to give us an unmerited blessing, the blessing of saving grace, the blessing of salvation. And in Romans 9:15-16, it reads, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." God elected whom he will save, not because he already knew who would choose him, not because of something we did, otherwise that would be salvation by works, but the elected are given the promise of salvation from our sin, the promise of eternal life because God chose us first. Now let's quickly go back to Abram. So while the promise of Abram was not of his own action, we should not discount Abram's choice to be generous to Lot. His generosity to Lot meant he lost the best land. But lest Abram thought he was losing something in handing over the most fertile countryside to his nephew, the Lord reminds Abram that Canaan would be his forever. The Lord is reminding Abram of his promise. The Lord is encouraging Abram so he would not lose hope. And this scene is a beautiful reminder for each and every one of us that the greatest blessings of the covenant lie in the future. And that is the exact same thing for us. The covenant we have in Christ is eternal life, one that we will experience in the future. Now, though Abram apparently lost the better part to Lot, the setback wouldn't last forever, as the entire land was promised to Abram and his descendants. And now there's a minister by the name of Matthew Henry that coined this really good quote. Lot had the paradise, such as it was, but Abram had the promise. Now, is this not the same with us? We know so many people living in this worldly paradise, but as Christians, we have the promise. The promise of Christ, the promise of eternal life. Now, do not be deceived. We should not have this mindset of, yes, the world can live their lavish life now, and I will live in eternity. Rather, we should use our resources, we should use God's provision, the blessing of time that we have on this earth, and use it to spread the gospel so others would also become heirs to the promise. Now, this is just an encouragement. Our lives here is not the final destination. We live our lives looking up, looking at the promised land, the promise of eternal life, the promise of life with Christ. Now, as we finish up today, there is a lot that we can learn from the life of Abram, the life of Abraham, and even just in this passage. But I just want to impart a few key things. Number one, we should remember to be vigilant that the blessings and the provisions of God does not become twisted for our selfish desires. Number two is that as Christians, we should be generous, putting others' interests above our own. In Philippians 2:3, it reads, "Do nothing from self-ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Number three, remember to trust God. When we are presented with these hard choices like Abram, we should act as Abram did. Trusting in God is infinitely better than hoarding any worldly treasures for ourselves right now. And as we saw with Lot, sometimes these worldly treasures end up becoming curses. As well, we should also always remember that we trust that God will always provide for us. And being generous with our resources is an act of trust towards God that he will always provide for our needs. And I just want to end it again with Matthew Henry's quote. What had the paradise such as it was, but Abram had the promise? I just want to encourage you again as my last words. We have the promise. We have the promise of eternal life in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and for your message today. We thank you that all good things, all blessings, all provisions comes from you. We pray that we remember that we are merely stewards of your blessings and your provisions. And I just pray that we would not twist these provisions for our own selfish desires. Lord, help us to always trust in you, to always put your will above our own. I pray as we leave today that we will hold on to and never forget the promise of life you have given us. May this promise, may you, Lord, direct us in all areas of life. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, church.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.